over the Sabbath, calling himself is God's. He established it out of the model that he set for us in creation. From the beginning of history, he set it apart from the other days. God built the world in 6 days and rested on the seventh. And then demanded that we, his creation, would follow that same model. So long as creation stands, that principle of Sabbath remains woven into creation by the Creator. So, when Jesus calls himself Lord of the Sabbath, he's tampering with something that only God had to teach him. And he seems to acknowledge the audacity of that claim in the way that he expresses that the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath. Sabbath, well, that would seem to be pushing the limits of that lordship, because this belongs to God. Of course, we know that while God ordained it, it was the Pharisees who really codified it. They made it the focal point of their legalistic, merit-based system of self-righteousness. They defined precisely what was, and probably more importantly, what not allowed to be done on the Sabbath. And there were laws. And then laws upon laws. And if you follow the rules meticulously to observe the Sabbath just so, then you could be considered righteous. Because you were living righteously. But then Jesus comes and he seems indifferent. You don't do work. So here's the command from the listing of the 10 in Exodus 20, right from the 10 commandments. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. So all it says is that they are to do no work on the Sabbath. Nobody's to do work. Not you, not your children, not your servants, not even your livestock. No one is to work. And all the teasing out of the Sabbath in those verses is more concerned with who than with what God commands. And this is where the Pharisees are status, everybody gets to take a break on the Sabbath. Jesus, the Ten Commandments don't seem to be overly concerned about explaining what qualifies as work. It just says don't work. Apparently,
Sabbath are as mountains hanging by a hair. The scripture is standing, and the rules There's not much in Scripture that admits that that doesn't prevent a piling up of rules and rules upon rules. And let's be clear, all those rules, those are not biblical. The Bible just says, don't do work on the Sabbath. Is it really work to turn on a light? Well, the Jewish leaders say, yes, it is. But almost certainly the intent of the Sabbath is that you would take a break from your normal work week. If you're a farmer, don't farm on Saturday. Take a break. It has nothing to do with turning on lights or how many steps you're allowed to take. I mean, if you find something restful, go ahead and do it. And Jesus is deeply critical of the ways that they've heaped on tradition to a simple command. So he says in Matthew 15, are you breaking the name of God for the sake of your tradition? Yet here's the command. Rest. And it's being nullified by the traditions of men. Work hard at resting. Jesus rejects all that. Rejects it. So there's this incident in Mark, end of chapter 2. One Sabbath, Jesus was going through the grain fields, and his disciples walked along, they began to pick some heads of grain. The Pharisees said to him, look, why are they doing what is unlawful on the Sabbath? These are men out for a Sabbath stroll, just taking a walk. In those situations, there is a provision made for them to take some grain for themselves. Deuteronomy 23:25. It's a gracious provision from God. If you enter your neighbor's grain field, you may pick kernels with your hands, but you must not put a sickle to their standing grain. Okay. Obviously, you can't harvest the grain and haul it off. You can't put a sickle to it. You can't pull the tractor into the field. But you can, as you're walking along, help yourself to some of the grain. But you can take with your hands, you're welcome to. It's not stealing. It's a ready snack. You can get your version of a convenience store. This is that Snickers to get you through the afternoon until dinner time. It's an expression of God's generosity. It's like you're walking along, passing a field, help yourself to a few grains. Snack on that. You're welcome to that. If they're hungry, the farmer isn't to be so greedy as to restrict them from their snacking. All that abundance of that harvest is a gift from God, so be generous with it. Few handfuls of grain. It's not going to make or break you. So, this reasonable, sensible generosity in the Old Testament provides for that. It doesn't restrict it to 6 days a week. It just says that you can do it as you're walking along the grain field. Help yourself to some of that grain. So, Jesus' disciples are doing exactly what the Old Testament allowed them to do, making their way along, picking some grains. This, of course, is perfectly within the purposes of God. Acceptable if you're just looking at the Old Testament. But it is in direct violation to the layers of religious rules that have been piled on top of the Old Testament standard. Specifically because this is the Sabbath. And on the Sabbath, this generous provision of picking grain in your neighbor's field does not hold by the Pharisees. Because according to them, if you pick grain, that's harvesting. Harvesting is forbidden because that's farming work. And if you take that grain and roll it in your hands to remove the husk, that's threshing. And threshing is forbidden on the Sabbath because that's, again, a farming task. And if you clean off the shell, that's sifting. And sifting is also forbidden on the Sabbath because that's farming work. And if you throw that chaff into the air, that's winnowing. And winnowing is forbidden on the Sabbath because it's farming work. It's been determined that it's too much labor for the Sabbath. They're farming, and farming is work. So it's not permissible. Really? You call that farming? I think the Old Testament is discerning enough to make a distinction between grabbing a handful of grain as you're traveling through a field and using a sickle to harvest it. It sees that there's a difference between those two. Like, you're allowed to grab some grains with your hands. Just don't give a signal to it. Because those are not the same thing. Obviously, if you bring your signal out and start chopping away at the grain, that's work. That's forbidden on the Sabbath. But just grabbing a few grains of wheat, defining that as farming, it really seems to be a stretch. That's the nature of legalism. You lose the forest for the trees. The rules are the rules. The rules have been broken. Who cares if it makes sense? So Jesus answers in response, "Have you never read what David did when he and his companions were hungry and in need?" Have you never read? Of course they've read. They've read everything in the Old Testament. There's nothing that they haven't read. But while they may have read it, they haven't understood it. So, what did David do when he was hungry and with his companions? Well, the story is told in 1 Samuel 21. David was fleeing from Saul. He's on the run. Saul is intent on killing him. He comes to Nob, it's about a mile north of Jerusalem. It's where the tabernacle was located. And he has no food to eat, so he and his men are hungry. There's a priest there by the name of Nathan, and he asks the priest for food. But the priest answers, "David, I don't have any ordinary bread on hand. However, there is some consecrated bread here, provided the men have kept themselves from women." Consecrated bread. Understand that every Sabbath, fresh bread would be placed in the tabernacle. 12 loaves, symbolizing the 12 tribes of Israel. The old bread was removed, and that old bread belonged to Aaron and the priests. They had to eat it in the sanctuary because it was a holy part of their food share. It's not really intended for non-priests, David and his men. But in this case, the priest is willing to fudge a little. Because they need food. Because that's the only food available. So this priest gives David the bread, and David and his companions eat it. And this is not really kosher, so to speak. As you know, it's lawful only for the priests to eat it. But Scripture never condemns this priest or David for this bending. And that silence is an implicit approval. But the priest understands that ceremony is ceremony. The ritual is symbolic. You don't save a ceremony and lose a person. It has a place, but mercy triumphs over ritual. These men need food. The priest has bread, but it's off limits. He gets it. Hunger of these men trumps the rigid enforcement of the rules. There's nothing as valuable as life, ceremony, ritual, tradition that would never stand in the way of mercy, goodness, necessity. So, if David could be allowed by a priest to violate a divinely ordained symbol, well, then it seems that the disciples should be allowed to violate some unbiblical regulation about the Sabbath. And then, verse 27, substance issue. We don't need the shadow anymore. We are not bound by that. Sabbath was designed to point us to Christ. But once we're there, we don't need the pointer anymore. So Paul says here, don't let anyone judge you by Sabbath. Sabbath has found its fulfillment for us in Christ ultimately. And I know many will refer to Sunday as Sabbath, but it's not. Saturday was the Sabbath. And we worship on Sunday because of the resurrection, not because the Sabbath has changed days. You will be hard pressed to make any case from Scripture that the Sabbath has been transferred now to Sunday. Because I don't think the point is to move the Sabbath from one day on the calendar to another day on the calendar. The gospel doesn't move it. It fulfills it. Rest is found in Christ. So, just like the temple, the sacrifices and the Jewish festivals, which you find so the Sabbath, which means I don't think that we are obligated to observe it as a day any longer. Not on Saturday, not on Sunday. I realize that may be controversial, but I believe that we're not bound by it. And that it was never created to be something that we would be bound by, period. It's not intended as a hardship. I also think that while not bound by it, the principle still remains that God designed us with a need for rest, and that we can't function properly if we are on the go all the time, constantly pressing ourselves with work. I think sleep is a fascinating thing that we need it every day. God didn't have to create us with this need to sleep daily. Like, he could have written the program so that he didn't include that. And we could have been more productive if he designed us that way. Like, instead of, the 18 or the 15 or whatever hours a week that we have, we could have 24 hours.